a little bit flamboyant type, and Billy was more hard-nosed as far as the manager was concerned. Rigney was a very likable man.
Now, by this time, you've hit 41 home runs again in 70, and you've hit 40 several times in this, and they're starting to talk about Babe Ruth's record. Do you remember any about that?
Yeah, they were talking about it, but I never thought much about it. First of all, I was just trying to take one year at a time and never really thought much about breaking any records of any kind.
Can you talk a little bit about what it's like to hit a home run? I mean, how hard is it to hit a home run? You hit an awful lot of them, but an awful lot of guys can't.
I used to hear hitters say they never hit a home run when they were trying to, and I never did believe that because I hit a lot of them when I was trying to. But, of course, I struck out a lot. I popped up a lot. I hit a lot of weak ground balls when I was trying to hit home runs, too. Mm-hmm. But I believe it or not, I tried to play the game as the game developed. If a single would help win a game, I wasn't trying to hit the ball out of the ballpark. Sometimes I did on those occasions, but I wasn't necessarily trying to do that. Just trying to get a base hit to win a game, or sometimes a walk will help you win a game too. So.
Was there one most memorable home run?
Well, the first one, the last one, and a lot of them in between. I guess the last one I'll always remember because it was against the Minnesota Twins. I played my last year with the Royals and hit a home run off a little left-hander by the name of Eddie Bain. I'll never forget that one.
Okay. 71, the team finishes in fifth. Oliva leads the league in hitting. Bill Melton hits 33 home runs, and that leads the league in home runs. The home runs are starting to get a little bit more scarce.
What year was that now?
1971.
71?
Okay. You're in the All-Star game. Do you remember much about that year?
Well, that was my last All-Star game. The 71 All-Star game in Detroit. Mm-hmm. And that was a game that there was a lot of home runs hit. But they were all hit to right field, except mine. And I hit a home run off Fergie Jenkins, a slider. Was able to hit it through the wind to left field. And we went on to win the game. And after the game, they came in the clubhouse and they said, the commissioner wants you out on the field to award you the MVP award. So I'm standing with the commissioner in front of the national, I think it was NBC at that time, cameras. And before the lights came on, the cameras, they said, no, it's not you. It's Frank Robinson. So that was kind of a bittersweet thing, but it was, I didn't know it was going to be my last All-Star game, but as it turned out, that was. And it looked like it was going to be the last All-Star game the American League won, too, as we went on a long losing streak there after that.
Right, I remember that. My National League friends always gave me a lot of grief for that. And Nolan Ryan comes into the league right around now. Can you talk a little bit about
Nolan
batting
Ryan,
against him?
Nolan Ryan was a great, great pitcher. There's no question about that. Had a great fastball that you've heard of, but not only did he have a great fastball, he had a great curveball too. He probably struck out as many hitters with his curveball as he did his fastball. Mm-hmm. He's the only pitcher that ever struck out four times against one game. And that happened opening day of 1975 when I was with the Royals. And that's not a very good way to start off the season. And not a very good way to start off an experience with a new ball club. But I think he ended up getting me 11 times. And I got him a couple of times, but he certainly was one of the really great pitchers of that era.
I mean, his strikeout totals in those years were, I mean, he was striking out 350-plus year after year.
We used to play a game in Minnesota, a morning game, like a 10 o'clock game in the morning or something like that on Saturdays, when the late in the year in September, when the Gophers football college, University of Minnesota, would play a football game in the afternoon. They try to play the morning games, get that over with, so people could go to the football game in the afternoon. And invariably, Nolan would pitch that game at early morning game. It was very difficult to hit.
Facing him at 10 in the morning.
Yeah.
Who else, what other pitchers that you faced in those years, you remember?
Herb Score threw harder than any pitcher that I ever saw. And I was unfortunate that he got hit in the eye. It didn't hurt his arm, but he never was able to develop after that to become the pitcher that he could have been. I think he would have been one of the greatest pitchers of all time with the arm that he had, because he had a great arm. He threw extremely hard and had that great overhand curveball. He is certainly, it was the hardest throwing pitcher I ever saw. I thought Denny McLean for a couple of years was about as good as any pitcher that you'd ever want to see. While we're talking, he's the last pitcher to win 30 games in Major League Baseball.
What made him so good?
Denny McLean had a pitching coach during that time, Johnny Sane. And Johnny Sane taught him what Johnny called a quick curveball. It was bigger than a slider, but faster than a regular curveball. And broke about that much, but it was very quick. And I think that that quick curveball really made him an excellent pitcher.
Can you talk a little bit about just about hitting in general? You say that the ball broke this much and it broke this much in the fastballs. I mean, as you're saying, hitting is the hardest thing to do in sports. When the pitchers, take me from here, the pitcher's got the ball up in his hand, what happens from there?
Well, I always tried to watch the pitcher and his complete windup from the moment he had the ball in his glove all the way through his motion and try to follow it all the way out of his hand, all the way to home plate. Now, I've heard some hitters say that they tried to pick the ball up in an area where the pitcher threw from, but you're leaving a lot to chance there, because he might vary the area where he throws the pitch from. So I think, to me, it's important to follow the pitcher and kind of blot out the body of the pitcher and watch his concentrate on his hand and how he grips the ball. And I could tell pretty much when he released the ball the type of pitch it was going to be and where it might end up.
How did you do that?
The plate. And I don't know, there's something inside your head that tells you, after experience of watching certain pitches and pitchers over the years, that that you can do that.
I mean, were you picking up the spin of the ball?
The rotation on the baseball, yeah. I could tell what kind of a pitch it was going to be. I guess I was blessed with pretty good eyes. And like a lot of guys, I think that most hitters that are good hitters have pretty good eyesight.
So what does a curveball look like?
Well, there are different kinds of curveballs, some that spin a lot. And some that don't spin so much, like a slow curveball like Stu Miller used to throw. Sandy Koufax had that great overhand curveball, would come up and go straight down with real fast rotation, like Herb Score. Some that would throw from the side and have a different type of a rotation, or a slider. You'd almost see a red dot in the center of a slider when it would come up there. Most difficult kind of pitch to hit probably is a knuckleball, because you have no idea what that ball is going to do when it comes up there.